In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Some of the most compelling books and movies and series ever made are about characters who live double lives. Right, so there's a high school elementary teacher who is actually a drug kingpin. You may know that series. Or a sweet suburban couple who are actually spies for the KGB. The reason these stories are so compelling is because although it's a little less dramatic for us, we all tend to live double lives to a certain extent, presenting ourselves ideally on the outside, but hiding some of the darker things on the inside. I know I do that, and I suspect many of you do too. I am not a drug dealer or a Russian spy, rest assured. But there is a difference between my outside, outward self, how I want to be seen, and the inward parts, which I don't. For example, I come before you as Derhai, the man of God, under control, and all with all the answers. But I tend to hide my doubt and my anxiety when everything feels out of control, which it does often. I come before you ready and willing to serve, but I tend to hide the feelings of overwhelm and even sometimes resentment when I can't live up to my ideals of service. So you see what I want you to see, and I hide a lot of the rest. How about you? It's easy to fool ourselves into thinking there is no difference between how we want to be seen and how we are. What you see is what you get. But during Lent, we're supposed to take off these rose-colored glasses and see ourselves how God sees us. Not just what we say, how we want to be, but how we actually are. And so, like all growth, this hurts and it's challenging. But like all growth, God promises to take our hand and to guide us where we truly need to be. That's the only way to get there. And so this challenging but crucial growth is what Jesus is talking about with all the bewares in today's reading, and Paul for that matter too in his reading, as we prepare for Lent. It's as if he's holding up a bunch of mirrors to us and saying, beware, don't fool yourself, that you're more righteous than you are. You can fool some people all the time, you can fool all the people some of the time, but you shouldn't go on fooling yourself, and you can't ever, ever, ever fool God, because he has x-ray vision. God can see into the heart. And this is bad news for me, and perhaps for you, if we're going it all alone, because in the end, no one can avoid living a double life. We simply can't live up to the ideals that we hold for ourselves. But it's also the beginning of very good news. If we take an honest look in the mirror and it helps us and encourage us to turn to God and to ask for help. And that's a pretty good description of Great Lent. A deep look in the mirror and asking God for help. That's it. And when we do ask God for help, he not only gives us words of advice, he gives us his example, right? That of his only begotten Son, Jesus, who was the only one who did not live a double life, whose inner life perfectly matched his outward one. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but only by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and then he lived by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. He said, no greater love hath man than to lay down his life for his friend, and then he laid down his life for his friends and for us. Someone said that the only reason we live double lives is because of the great gift of speech. We are the only animals that can speak. And when you can speak, you can say something, and then you cannot do it, or do the opposite. And that's a double life. But if we follow our Lord Jesus Christ on this journey of Great Lent, and listen and learn from his life and try to act like he did, we'll find out that he wasn't only the greatest teacher who ever lived, but he was the greatest healer who ever lived. And healing is the only thing we need to stop living this double life. Because a fundamental teaching of our church is that the division in the world, the division in our hearts, the division in our families, the division in politics, all of that is something that we can't teach our way out of, learn our way out of, evolve our way out of, spend our way out of. There's just this gap. There's this hole in our souls. There's a great chasm between the good we wish to be and the broken mortals that we are. And that's why you see this black curtain during Great Lent. It is symbolic of this breach, this separation, this great curtain of sin, separation, which divides the world and divides the human heart. And sin has always caused our world to perpetually fall apart. War between people, enmity in families, disharmony and illness within ourselves. And everything in this world tends to come apart, but in Christ, the great healer, they are brought back together again. And this curtain is lifted, and the separation from what we want to be and what we are will be united. And the enmity between people will be removed. And that perfect fellowship which God made for us in the beginning that we celebrate today on the day of good living, our paradise times with God, that will be restored. But we don't have to wait for this pie in the sky, heaven, for this healing and wholeness to be restored. Because once we allow God to bring peace and healing within ourselves, we'll find that automatically, like fruits from a tree, it will bring peace and healing to those around us, at home, at work, to the person in need. Saint Seraphim, a great Russian Orthodox saint, famously said, "Acquire the spirit of peace, and 1,000 souls around you will be saved." And that's what this church is for, and that's all it's for. And the prime season for this repentance and healing and peace is this 40-day season of Lent, which begins tomorrow. And more words of that in the announcements. But right now, my prayer is to challenge ourselves to look deep in this mirror, this Lent, and ask for God's help to heal whatever is divided within us and around us, so that we can be one and be restored to what we are called to be. Because in reconciling with God, we become reconciled to ourselves and become a means of His grace and peace on earth as it is in heaven, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.